This week's mailbag comes to us from Teresa. Dear Lisa and the Organized 365 team, this is sort of a Sunday basket win. I got through the first 50 days of my first round of the 100-day home organization program, and my life is so much better. Then I started working on my hot mess room, as there are things I need to do that require equipment in there. Then, during the break in the most recent live Sunday basket clubs, I watched probably 3 or 4 replays, and I went through several banker's boxes of paper that were in my hot mess room. I was able to get all of my actionable papers down to my Sunday basket and one more banker's box. I also have one desk drawer full of stuff that will go into my binders and one more banker's box for tax stuff. I can then probably get the tax stuff decluttered, but now it is all in one place. Paper has always been my nemesis. It is mind-boggling to know that all of my important papers are in 2 banker's boxes, 1 drawer, and my Sunday basket. Thank you, Organized 365.
Do you have an Organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organized365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. I hope you have enjoyed my going through how I created the idea of the workbox. Really, the Sunday basket and the workbox and using the pink, purple, blue, and green slash pockets have been my way to teach other family members and teach other people currently in the Organized 365 business and formerly in my direct sales business how I get so much done. Like, you guys, I get so much done. Like, so much done at home, so much done at work. I have so much more time. Like, I am just a naturally productive person. And while the Sunday basket and the Friday workbox and the coordinating slash pockets are how I do that, I think what I'm going to share with you in this podcast is actually why it all works. Have you ever had that where you're like, I have all the pieces here. I know it's supposed to make this thing that I saw somebody else doing, but I'm missing something and I don't know what it is that I am missing. Usually, it's because, like me, I am so close to being a productive person, it's hard for me to see what is it that I'm doing that other people aren't doing. So, little story here. I have always been a list maker, and I think productive people are list makers, and they know they're never going to get their entire to-do list done, but they get a lot done. Like, their to-do lists mostly get done, right? You know these people that are like me. And I remember as a child making lists, having planners. This is before they gave you a planner at school. I had to go to the Hallmark store and buy my planner, and I would come to school and I would organize my planner. Like, it's one of my favorite things in college is they had a Miami planner you could get. And I mean, I've always loved planners. I've always loved planning. And I've always been able to assign an amount of time to a task. Like, I knew how long it would take to study for an exam. I knew how long it would take to write a paper. I knew how long it would take to get to my babysitting job. I knew how long it would take to clean my room. I know how long things take. And I think it's that orientation to time that I have that has really helped me, and I did not realize was something that I do that other people don't do. And I know I've told this story before about when Joey and Abby were little. It would have been the same exact time that I created this Sunday basket when I was so overwhelmed and I had so much to do. And I had these 2 babies under 2 and my mom came down to stay with me for a weekend. And I was like, great, we're going to the stores. And I packed the kids up in the minivan and my mom. And we went out to the farthest place out on my to-do list. And we started just making our way back towards home. And I've always done my to-do lists in that order because I start to lose steam. Everyone starts to lose steam as you're doing to-do lists. And so I would rather lose steam and have to make a second errand trip on something that's 2 or 4 miles away from the house instead of something that's 20 miles away from home. So I always go to my furthest out to-do. Do as many to-dos as possible, usually run through a fast food place for myself and or my kids, and keep getting as much done as I could possibly get done. And I remember my mom standing in my kitchen at the end of that weekend. She was with me. We had done an errand day like that. I remember my sister came down about the same time. We did a similar errand day. My sister, you know her, Emily Kelly, said, "I will never, never do an errand day with you again." Like, the kids handled it better than my sister did. She's like, "That is crazy." But I had my to-do list on the end of my kitchen counter that was not my errand to-do list, my of all the things that needed to be done around the house. And next to this long legal pad of to-dos that was multiple pages long, there were all these little pencil numbers next to each thing. And my mom said, "What are all these numbers?" And I said, "That's how long it takes to do all of those tasks." And she looked at me and she said, "You know how long it takes to do everything on your to-do list?" And I was like, "You don't?" She's like, "Nobody does. I've never heard of that in my life. Like, nobody knows that." And I don't think nobody knows that. You may be saying, "Oh yeah, I do that too." Okay, we're not normal people. We are not normal. Most people do not A, know that information, or 2, do that on a regular basis. It's just something that we do that most people don't do. And again, how would you ever think that that's something that I should teach? That habit of being able to put that time down on how long things take on my to-do list, I have now transitioned over onto my calendar. I literally do not make to-do lists. When I tell you I don't have a to-do list, I don't have a to-do list. I have a Friday workbox and I have a Sunday basket. And on Sunday, I pull out the tasks that need to be done that week for the house. And on Friday, I pull out the tasks that need to be done that week for the business. And I get them done from there. If they aren't going to get done this week, if they can wait until next Friday or Sunday, they must wait until next Friday or Sunday. So how do I do that? Well, on Friday, when I'm going through the Friday workbox and I realize I need to record this podcast and other podcasts, I literally go to my next week on my calendar and I put on my calendar, record podcast and write newsletter for about an hour. And I do it for however many podcasts I have to record. It's literally an actionable on my calendar. It's not a to-do on a to-do list anywhere. It has to get done. I have to get it done. It's going to take time. I know how long it's going to take. I put it on my calendar. Making your to-do list this way from your workbox or your Sunday basket and putting it on your calendar for the weekend or the work week, immediately you're like, "Oh, I can't do all 3 of those things this week. I don't have enough time. 1 is going to have to get let go. 2 might have to be," like, you have to prioritize. You have to make decisions when you put things on a calendar that is time bound. So the biggest beauty of the Sunday basket and the Friday workbox is that you can have as many ideas as you want, and you only pull out the actionables that your time will allow for 1 period of time, which is 7 days. Every 7 days, you get to go back and you get to make new decisions. And all of your ideas and your research and your goals and your hopes and your dreams are all captured on paper in those boxes. So your tasks will not be forgotten. You may not get to them, but they won't be forgotten. There's something that I'm actually implementing inside of Organize 365 this week for all Access members. I had this idea 2 years ago, and I tried to do it again last year, and it just wasn't the right timing, and now I'm doing it. But I've been keeping my ideas about this special all Access experience that we're doing in the beginning of October for 2 years. Just because you can't get it done this week doesn't mean it won't get done or that it isn't a great idea. You have to learn how to pick out 1 to 3 things a week in your home and in your work that you actually get done, not never-ending to-dos. So what is the thing? It's not the special thing that I have been so close to that I did not realize was my secret sauce, is not knowing how long everything takes. It's the act of planning. Everything that I have been sharing with you The slash pockets, the weekly cadence, the writing things on paper, the mapping it out on the calendar, all of these things are part of planning. I am a productive planning person. I actually do more planning than I do doing. I know, it's kind of odd, but I do. I spend more time planning than I do doing. And I find that as you plan and think about your plans and reorganize your plans so that they are the most productive possible, a lot of the doing gets done. And so my thing that I do that helps me win at home and win at work is how I spend the 13th week of every year in my workbox and 3 times a year in my home. So let me explain. The 13th week of every 13th week is the end of a quarter. So you have 12 weeks, January, February, March, and then the last week in March is the 13th week of the quarter. I always thought there were 12 weeks in a quarter. There's not. There are 13 weeks in every quarter of the year. You have 12 productive weeks and one planning week. And that is the 13th week. So how I used to do it when I was a solopreneur or when I was in direct sales and it was just me is I would work January, February, March, and then the last week of March, I would reconcile all my expenses for the quarter. I would set my sales goals for the next quarter. I would set my social media agenda. I would like make my plan for the next 12 weeks, run that plan, and then take a week. And when I take this week, this is what it looks like for me. I empty out my workbox all of the way. Now, I said in planning day this round, if you did workbox planning day with me, your pink slash pockets are secret. And they are your hopes and your dreams and the things that you think might be happening in the future or ideas that you have that you're still in researching stage. You can have 89 pink slash pockets if you want, and I think I do. But you only have like 1 to 5 purple because there are only a few things that you can really put all of your focus into and get done in a 12-week period. If you want to get more purple slash pockets done, then you just need a bigger team and they'll all have 1 to 5 purple slash pockets also. You cannot have 89 purple slash pockets because your effort will be way too diluted and you won't get anything done. So what I do in this 13th week is I empty out my Friday workbox. So I have a Friday workbox that has probably 30 different pink slash pockets in it, purple slash pockets that used to be purple but are not currently purple, like a whole bunch of slash pockets, plus all of the information that's come in over the quarter that I drop them in. My physical Friday workbox sits in my home office and I drop things in there all quarter long. But my working Friday workbox is actually a portable Sunday basket. And my portable Sunday basket has only the things that I'm focusing on in the next 12 weeks. So it has all the actionable things I do each week in my 1.0s. I think I have 4 sets of 1.0s. You can learn all about those in planning day if you sign up for those. I have usually anywhere from 3 to 10 pink slash pockets, just depending on where I am in my creativity cycle. I have 5 purple slash pockets. I usually have anywhere from 3 to 10 blue slash pockets for all the meetings that I run, team members that we're hiring, one-on-ones that I have, and professional development that we're doing. And then I have 5 green slash pockets. That is what I carry back and forth and back and forth and back and forth back to my school days where I used to pack up my school bag and carry it back and forth to school. I carry that back and forth to work. When I worked from home, it's the portable Sunday basket that I'll carry out to the back patio and into my bedroom and wherever I'm working from that day. But the big regular Friday workbox sits in my home office at home until this 13th week. And at the 13th week, I pull out that traditional Friday workbox and my portable Sunday basket that's working as my workbox and any binders that I have of information. And I sit on the floor and I make a gigantic, huge mess. And I go through every single slash pocket that I have and I recycle and shred so much paper and I eliminate slash pockets and I reorganize the colors and I move some things from pink to purple and some things from purple back to pink or over into other colors. And I just really organize all of my thoughts and all of the things that are in process into their proper slash pocket color. Then I take a look at all of the pinks that are there and all of the purples and I determine how many purple projects can I get done in the next 12 weeks. And those become my rocks, either for myself or for the company. And then anything else, even if it's a fabulous idea like the TV show I want to do. It's not happening this quarter. So it goes back in my traditional Friday workbox that sits in my home office at home. And it will just sit there until the next 13th week. So for me, that quarterly 13th week is the equivalent of a quarterly Sunday basket, if you will, or Friday workbox. And so any idea that's not going to get completed in the next quarter, in the next 12 weeks, goes in that Friday workbox that I go through once a quarter. And during this 13th week, I do some extra resting. I do some reflecting. I might do some journaling. I recommit to the goals that I want to accomplish in the next quarter. And I reset all of my intentions. And I really will read more books and I will listen to podcasts and I will go for walks and I'll really think about, okay, 12 weeks from now, what do I hope to have accomplished and be done with at the end of this quarter in my business? That's how I go into my planning. And the act of planning and becoming a productive person is a ultimate task stacking habit. I used to think if I could get my to-do list done, or I could figure out how to get my to-do list done faster, then I would be able to do more. And that worked for me for a little bit. But I realized now that I am a truly ultra productive person. When I look at other people who are also ultra productive, they are not getting a lot of actionables on a to-do list done faster so that they can do more. They actually are doing more, but at a much higher level of impact. So if you look at people who are starting foundations, changing the world, like they're not doing less. They're doing more, and they have the capacity to do more. They have the capacity to win at home and win at work and win in their community and win with their friends and still have capacity for more. These are the people, when they say that if you want something done, find a busy person and ask them to do it, they're the people that, even though they have so much going on, somehow they could still take your phone call. And you can't figure out why. And now that I'm living it, I'm like, yep. My family and friends will say to me, well, I know you're so busy. I'm like, oh, I actually have like a ridiculous amount of free time. I don't know what to tell you. They're like, but you're doing, and they list all the things I'm doing. I'm like, yep. And I still have a lot of free time. And it's because my capacity is so increased. I'm not chasing a to-do list. I'm not running after actionables. I'm thinking about how can I make the biggest impact at home, at work, in my family, in the next 12 weeks when I'm looking at work, or the next 17 weeks when I'm looking at home. Now, I say that when I first did this 13th week, I would do it in the 13th week of the quarter, which is the last week of March, the last week of June, the last week of September, the last week of December. But now I have pivoted, and it's still my 13th week activity, but I usually do it in the first week of the last month of the quarter. So you do it around week 9, and that is when we have our workbox planning day, is in the 9th week of the quarter. And you might say, what? Why? Like, you still have a whole month to go on the actionables that you're doing inside of your company. Why would you start working on the next quarter 1 month in advance? And the reason why is because I found that we're not robots. Like, our brains need time to think and ponder and process. And also, if you work with a team, you need time to figure out how you're going to message this to your team and how you're going to get them on board with what the next sprint is that you're going to run together. And so that takes some messaging. Sometimes you need to make some investments in people or processes or tools or buildings, or sometimes you need to get some physical things in order to do your next quarter's goals. So I actually do my planning the first week of March for April through June, and the beginning of June for July through September, and the beginning of September for October through December. And that's why we do our workbox planning days at that time. Our 100-day home organization planning days are the beginning of January, the beginning of May, and the end of August. And in that case, we're just planning in 1 week for the next 17-week sprint. We start the 100-day program the first Monday in January. the Monday after Mother's Day and the Monday of Labor Day in the United States, and those start those longer sprints. So once I go through my slash buckets, the next thing that I do is I pick out what are the projects that we're going to do. I told you I pick out the purple. I pick out if there are any pink slash buckets that I want to be focusing on this quarter so that I can keep adding research in there, or if, like, this is when I will sometimes hire consultants or coaches, get in networking groups, masterminds. Usually it's an outside consultant or research firm that I'm going to use to get more information, because I need to see if whatever I'm researching in pink is going to be viable for the company from a resource standpoint, time, money, opportunity cost, all of those things. And so the things that are really interesting to me, or all of a sudden I made some really good networking contacts, and so it naturally seems to be coming our way, I'll start to put those pink slash pockets in my portable Sunday basket that I act as my regular Friday workbox so that I can regularly add my ideas as I go. I go through all my purple slash pockets, change any meeting agendas that I need to, update those agendas. Usually I will also change times of meetings and who's in meetings, like every quarter, really about every 6 weeks. I look at all the meetings I'm in and decide, do we still need to even have those meetings? If so, are all the people in those meetings still need to come to those meetings? Do those meetings need to be longer or shorter? Do they need to be every other week instead of every week? So I don't just put my meetings on my calendar on autopilot. About every 6 weeks, I'm reevaluating, and for sure every 13th week, I'm moving a lot of meetings around. And then green are the financial in my company. So I have been planning like this my entire life. Not as, you know, you always learn something so much deeper when you teach it. So the more that I'm teaching others to use the methods that have caused me to be productive, the more I recognize what I'm doing and the more productive I get. And it's really cool here at Organize 365 when we have planning day, that at the breaks, I can go and I could see our team members and how they're creating their workboxes and how they're getting more productive. And the more productive they're getting, the more productive I have to be in order to make sure there's enough work going through the company. And I realized this September when I came back from the book tour and Grayson was born, and I thought, wow, this summer I planned and did more than I have ever done in my entire life. And I feel like I won at everything. I feel like I won at home, I won in my marriage, I won as a parent, I won at work. Like everywhere across the board, I got an A. Like I finally got an A in everything. And I don't know if you feel like this, but I have always felt like, oh, okay, well, I won at work, but I didn't really give Greg the attention that I should have. Or I won with Greg, but you know, only one of my kids got the attention that they should have. And it's not that I have regrets, but I'm just like, oh, you know, it'd be nice if I was a little bit more balanced, which when you hear about my summer, it was not balanced. And I think that goes back to something earlier that I said, when you look at truly productive people who you would deem as someone that is really productive and gets a lot done, they're not balanced, but they are giving a lot of themselves to a lot of different groups of people, and it's working. I know last spring, one of the things I tried to do in my one of my 100-day rocks, one of my goals in my 100-day planner was to increase my capacity, for stamina, for sleep, like to figure out what would support me as I went on the 6-week trip for the book tour. What would I need to have so that I didn't end up exhausted, fatigued, with migraines, on the road, you know, sick? I didn't want to end up sick. And I was like, what could I do that would help me to increase my capacity, my physical capacity? So I set the goal to walk 10,000 steps. Quickly, I revised that goal to walk 5,000 to 6,000 steps, which I get much closer to, but still do not usually attain. So I increased my steps. The year before, I was walking 2,000 to 3,000 steps a day. So to be walking 4,000 to 6,000 steps a day is 100% increase. Like it's a huge increase. So I increased my steps in the spring. I also set out to find what foods were triggering migraines or what foods I could eat on the run if I couldn't find somewhere to get a meal. Like
different protein bars, granola bars, things that I could have with me so that I didn't get tired or overly hungry. Figured out what coffees would work with me on the road. I also started using a lot more Epsom salt baths, which I love. And when I was traveling on the book tour, I actually used half a bag of Epsom salts every single night in a bathtub wherever I was. That was a requirement of the trip. Every hotel that I had a bathtub, and I took an Epsom salt bath every single night. I took a rest every day. And so I started taking a rest time, not necessarily napping, but a rest time. And so I was consciously thinking January, February, March, and April, how do I increase my health capacity so that I could sustain myself in the summer? Then my summer, my 100-day goal for my home, when I looked at my goals for myself and my family and my home and our finances personally, my goal was to do the book tour, which has been my dream forever, while maintaining excellent relationships with Abby, Greg, Joey, and the dogs were mad. I did not achieve that with the dogs. But with that family, that everything around the house would go off without a hitch. There wouldn't be a problem that I wasn't there in order to do something at the home, that all of our bills would be paid and all of our finances would be taken care of, and that I would be able to enjoy it. That I, not just that I did the book tour, but I really got to enjoy the book tour. And I was able to do all of those things because I was so purposeful with how can I make sure that I'm winning in all those areas. Now, unexpectedly, we found out Abby was pregnant in the spring. And I was like, oh my, how can I win at being a mom to Abby and a grandma to Grayson and still achieve my book tour goal, which is why we moved the book tour dates around. But I'm happy to say when I look back at my summer, I feel like I won at home and I won at work because I was there for all but two of Abby's doctor's appointments. And let me just tell you how many doctor's appointments there were. We thought Grayson was coming four times when he wasn't coming. And that added a lot more ultrasounds and doctor's appointments. So there were a lot of doctor's appointments. I only missed two. And that was something that I just really wanted to do for Abby. I wanted to be there and support her. And I was able to do that. Joey's desire was to not be living at home once the baby arrived. So before the book tour, we were able to find a place that would be perfect for him to move into and get all of the things that he needed. So literally the day after we got back from the book tour, we got the U-Haul, loaded it up, moved him into his place. And Joey's other request was he wanted to come on the book tour. He was not originally going to be on the book tour. And I thought, hey, if your 21-year-old son wants to travel with you for 6 weeks, you should let him because I don't know if that's ever going to happen again. And I'm so glad we did. I think by the end, he was way done with me. But we had so much fun, so many memories. He so loved meeting all of you. I just think it was a really great experience that he had, and I enjoyed having that with him. And then I feel like I won with Greg also. We had our week at the beach like we always do. And then for our 26th anniversary, I found a fun, small, new hotel down here in Cincinnati that had like a 5-course meal that you could have in the room and just different. I mean, it's close enough because, you know, Abby was like 33 weeks pregnant at that point. Like it was close enough that we were close enough for Abby, but we got away and I just turned my phone off for the whole 24 hours that we were together and really got to talk and reconnect. And he felt like he had my undivided attention during that time. So I feel like I really was able to win with my family. And at the same time, I was able to do the book tour that's been a dream of mine forever. I was able to travel to, I can't remember, 11 different cities. I was on 8 different airplanes. All of the experiences were perfect. Like everything went off without a hitch. I got to meet over 250 of you. It happened to be in that perfect little golden window where COVID was not gone, but it was not like it is now or it was before. And so that was just such a blessing. And while I was gone, we hired 3 full-time employees the day before I left on the book tour. They all got onboarded while I was gone, and 4 contractors joined us while I was on the book tour. And the team just kept going. Like the company worked just fine. The meeting rhythms that we had worked just fine. Stephanie being chief of staff and being able to stand in for me in meetings that I wasn't able to be in worked just fine. Like all of the planning that we did in quarter one and quarter two before the book tour in quarter three really set us up for success in that. I came home from the book tour, came back to work. Abby had her baby quickly thereafter, a month early. Everyone was able to pivot. And now I feel like already we've gotten into a really good routine with Grayson being in the house and supporting Abby and helping her get enough sleep and me getting enough sleep and all of us being able to do this with excellence and with ease and enjoy it. Like we're enjoying our family. We're enjoying our home. I'm enjoying the company. I'm enjoying working. Like I'm enjoying everything and I still have capacity for more. And none of this would have happened if I did not spend so much time planning for what I personally need and what my family needs and what the house needs and what the business needs and what my role in the company is and what each of my employee needs. Like every quarter, someone meets with everybody inside of our company and we have quarterly conversations. It's not an evaluation. It's a conversation like, how's everything going? How can we support you? What do you need? What opportunities do you see that we aren't seeing? Are there any hard things that we need to talk about? Which usually there are not very many hard things we need to talk about. And then I'm able to one-on-one or, you know, through managers, talk to each of our employees about, here's what the next 13 weeks is going to look like in the company. Here's how your job is going to pivot or iterate going forward. And if there's a title change or whatever, like when you are this purposeful in what you're doing and planned and thinking it through, things start to happen a lot faster. And so you actually experience more change because you're growing, not because life's happening to you, but because you're happening to life. Like you're initiating the change. Proactive people are able to plan and put forth an agenda and see it come to fruition. And so, yeah, it's change, but it's proactive change. It's change that you wanted, that you chose, that you identified. So it's not that life isn't going to change or that if you could just get your to-do list done and be more productive with it, then you'd have nothing to do. Honestly, who wants nothing to do? No one wants nothing to do. That's boring. You just want more time to do what you're uniquely created to do and what lights you up and inspires you and gives you and the people around you more impact. And if you want to live that way, then you have to take the time to think about what you need and what the people around you need so that you can have everyone's needs met and go after those dreams and achieve them. All right, so this is the last of our Friday Workbox podcasts. We're going to get back into home-based organization podcasts starting next week. I hope you have enjoyed this little mini-series that we've done, the Wednesday certified organizer guests coming on and explaining how they help make the business Friday Workbox what it is today and how they've been able to listen to you also in other ways and speak into this. This is a never-ending passion of mine to become more productive and more impactful in everything that I do. It's a never-ending quest. And so I'll always have new ideas and iterations that I bring forward, which is why I keep going with the podcast. And I think that's what I want you to take away from this, that planning your work four times a year and planning your home life three times a year, while it is a lot of planning, 7 days of planning is a lot of planning, it's also the key to unlocking all of the productivity and all of the goal attainment that you're looking to achieve. Have a great week.